KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, we're joined today by Rob Jackson. He's a licensed counselor with Focus on the Family's Counseling Services, which, by the way, in need of a counselor, we want to throw out this number. We'll do it probably a few times today. 1-800-FAMILY. Available to you for initial consultation and aim you in the right direction for counseling. But Rob works with this department, and he also has a private counseling and coaching practice, bringing more than 40 years of experience helping men and women find integrated healing spiritually, psychologically, behaviorally, really with an emphasis on spiritual formations, sexuality, marriage, and parenting. He also speaks at churches and national conferences on Christian spiritual formation, addiction and recovery, and pastoral care. His forthcoming book, now write this one down, you ready? When Grace Meets Conviction, Loving God and Your LGBT Child. It's going to release alongside a conversation with someone you may be aware of, Jim Daly from Focus on the Family, the broadcast you hear weekday mornings at 7 o'clock and then in the noon hour. That actually following an earlier appearance that Rob did with Dr. James Dobson in 2023. Rob, welcome back into ABQ Connect.
Steve, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Well, always appreciate your insight and experience. We live in a fast-paced world. You and I, we've seen parents, and I'm a parent of six, grandparent of 12. But often parents, they look for this one size fits all, right? Quick fix solution to these challenges in raising children. And I mentioned grandparenting because, in this society and culture we live, it's not unusual to see grandparents that are co-parenting with their kids, but they go to some of these processes that may not address the unique needs of each family. And today we wanted to address the topic of intentional parenting and thus the reach out to Rob. But today we'll focus on understanding and responding to our kids' individual personalities, strengths, and weaknesses. And actually, before we jump right into intentional parenting, let's go back to some of those one size fits all quick fix solutions. Rob, are there some limitations to those formulaic parental methods that many of us have tried?
Absolutely, Steve. If it were only an Acme formula where you just added water, and poof, you had the right combination for all things, and it would absolutely guarantee your child's success, spiritually and otherwise. But really nothing like that exists. And that's what we're talking about in light of intentional parenting. How do you move away from the formulas that are really kind of fear-based? And how do you move into the space of being intentional, which is faith-based?
Yeah. And Rob, I want to encourage parents in this too. And, get me back in the lane if I'm off here. But, even the route we're going to go with, intentional parenting, we hope for the best, prepare for the worst times. And I know we raised our kids in a Christian home, and there were many struggles, many still struggle today. And in spite of the best intentions, we talk about intentional, in spite of those best intentions of parents, sometimes the story doesn't have a happy ending. And what we're going to do today is take a look at those intentional parenting skills and practices. But just a reminder, how much ownership should a parent take, you're never done parenting, but, how much ownership should a parent take, when maybe the story doesn't end quite like they think it should? How much extra baggage are they carrying off, and that really isn't theirs?
Well, that's a fantastic question for us to start with. And there's two stories that I would remind our listeners of. One is God in the Garden of Eden and our first parents, Adam and Eve. And we might say God was very intentional, right? And still it didn't work out the way we would have written it ourselves. And the second would be the father of the prodigal son. You know, one would think, based on who that man seems to be in the parable, that he was wise and full of love for his son and was probably the epitome of being intentional. So again, we don't want to slip into the thought that intentional parenting is now the formula. You know, it's going to absolutely produce the intended results. You know, if only we take our children to church, if only we raise them in a Christian home, maybe if we homeschool, maybe if we go to a private school, you know, maybe if we do this and don't do that, things will kind of have a guarantee. And that's really not what we're talking about. Intentional parenting is showing up in the moment with your child, looking to discern what is that child's true needs and how might you be able to meet them in an age and stage way that is grace and truth and love oriented.
Yeah, and I think the big difference between intentional parenting and what we already mentioned is really that one size fits all. With intentional parenting, we're really taking the kids individually. Any more though? You want to jump into those limitations to these formulaic parenting methods?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, for example, you know, there's an expression that says no two children are born or adopted into the same family. There's always going to be one child that is the first child to come into the family with two adults. And thereafter, it's always going to be a different family. So even that kind of dynamic more or less breaks apart the notion that a formulaic approach is going to work.
Yeah, I think that's important to remember. We've often, you know, used the illustration, you know, with the first, and there's much deeper than this, but, you know, the pacifier falls down with the first child onto the ground and you sterilize it and you put it through the washer and you do everything you can. You know, by the sixth kid, you're rubbing it in the dirt before you hand it to them. You know, and every family changes as things progress. The other thing I'm sure that you would recognize changes, you know, when it's just a husband and wife, there's a one line between them that is a relationship. And then as the family grows, you add one person and now there's two more lines drawn, one between the mom and the child and the dad and the child. And then, you know, you add another, you know, as you add there, all these lines get added and things get really complicated, not unmanageable, but in need of more attention to each of those individual lines. And I think that's a little bit what we're talking about today. Some of the strategies for developing these personalized parenting plans. Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Sure. And, you know, Steve, that was a brilliant word picture, by the way. I love what you set up there with all the different lines. I'll have to defer to my wife on this one, but she has said that we need to parent on the basis of our child's need rather than our neediness.
Mm.
So parent on the basis of the child's need. And sometimes that's even a conversation. Hey, can you tell me what you need right now? You know, I might not be able to meet it entirely or perfectly, but I'm really here for you and I want to show up. What do you need? And of course, as they're getting older, becoming more independent, sometimes what they need is less questions, right?
Yeah.
And so you approach with a kind of a may I, you know, a permission-based mentality. May I ask how you're doing? Do you have anything I can help with today? So try to find their needs and meet those appropriately, not in a helicoptering way or not in a lawn mowing kind of way that mows down all the weeds in front of them, but just in a way that comes alongside and still encourages their resilience.
Yeah. And boy, that's got to be a little bit of a trick sometimes too. You know, even if you're approaching with the permission-based questions, finding the need, has got to require some listening, other Are there listening skills that you would encourage as kids share to more effectively? Because kids aren't, you know, even if they, maybe they think they're telling you the need, or maybe they're hiding, you know, what you're trying to find in order to assist them. Any thoughts on how a parent can, you gave a couple with the permission-based questions, but, you know, anything to watch for, to listen for?
Well, I think it's fair to acknowledge that maybe our child doesn't really know what they need.
Yeah.
They may know what they want, but what they need is often a question of wisdom and maturity. And so I would encourage the parent to go with a relational curiosity, you know, the one that kind of invites with a question or two. And then as the parent is listening, listen to understand first, rather than listening to react. And so at that point, the child has said his or her, hopefully two or three sentences. If it goes beyond that, you may have to kind of slow them down and say, I want to make sure I get this. And now we're going to move into active listening. So I heard you say this. Am I correct? You said this was your need. Did I understand? And so if you've misunderstood by some degree, the child can come back and say, no, not quite. Well, let's try it again. And so listening to understand, listening to be there is the first part. And then coming back and articulating that in your own words, making sure that we have an agreement on what you've said. Now I can offer a response, not a reaction.
Right. Yeah. And I love, you know, I'm going to use a term I'm sure, Rob, you've heard before, mirroring. Yeah. So our listeners can hopefully it'll be a trigger to help them remember to do just what you said. Listen intently. Eye contact's pretty good. often, even with our spouses, with relationships in general, we'll think we're hearing something, really the conversation is not going to go on well if it's not clear what each person is understanding. And when you said, what I hear you saying is the mirroring. If you're off, it gives the person that's sharing with you a great opportunity to come back and go, no, that's not what I'm saying. And to clarify and, you know, to both get in the same lane so you understand what it is that you're talking about. But I love that. I love that clarification in the conversation. And as we continue through the conversation, how important, Rob, is it for us to really be self-aware, self-awareness of who we are, and other self-awareness, I suppose, but as part of being effective in parenting?
I think it's absolutely crucial to be self-aware. And one of the labels that I'm kind of embracing these days and like is called emotional intelligence. So we think about our IQ. Now this is our EQ. And it's basically, do I have a good sense of what it's like to be in relationship with me?
Mm.
And I have to confess, this has been a blind spot in my own life. I don't think my EQ was nearly as high as I wish it had been when we were raising our two children. You know, and now that we have some grandchildren, you know, I've aged, I've matured, you know, thanks be to God, I'm mellowing out a little bit. And so I think my EQ is increasing. But it is going back to that self-awareness, like, am I projecting something onto my child? You know, like, have I been messing up when I was that age and now I'm projecting onto my child that they're going to mess up? You know, they're going to be a carbon copy of me. And so projections are something that will happen from parent to child if we lack self-awareness or emotional intelligence.
All right. Listen, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Rob Jackson. He's a licensed counselor with Focus on the Family's counseling services, as well as work in a private counseling and coaching practice, bringing decades of experience to our conversation today on intentional parenting. Rob, we're up against a break. Can you stay with us?
I'd be delighted to, Steve.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect.
This is ABQ Connect.
We're in the midst of a conversation with Rob Jackson, a licensed counselor with Focus on the Family's counseling services, as well as a private counseling and coaching practice, and author of the upcoming book, When Grace Meets Conviction, Loving God and Your LGBT Child. And hey, we want to remind you as we walk through this, often, you know, intentional parenting, parenting in general, is something that, you know, we do our best to do, most of us as an island. But if you're needing to speak with a counselor, Focus on the Family does have that available to you through their toll-free number at 1-800-FAMILY. Rob, thanks for sticking with us through the break.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
And as I already mentioned, we're pressing on through the topic of intentional parenting. That is, as opposed to the one size fits all, those quick fix solutions that many would apply to every child in every situation. But really, it's the individual personalities of the kids that we all love need individual attention and strategies. But they each have their own strengths and their own weaknesses. And, you know, earlier in our conversation, we talked about the relationships in a family, the husband to wife and wife to child, 1, 2, 3, or however many, and the father, obviously, to those children. Lots of relationships. Let's talk about, you know, in relationships, communication, which we've already brought up, and how to communicate well when working on parenting intentionally. Can you describe some of those techniques for fostering that open communication within the family?
Well, I think techniques are really important, but I'd also want to bring your attention to posture. So for example, if a person presents with a lack of humility, the techniques aren't going to land well anyway. And so I'm not wanting a parent to be, I don't want a parent listening, thinking I'm saying you have no authority. You do. You are the authority. You are a God-given authority in the life of your child who lives in your home. But rather than showing up as the boss, I think showing up as a humble Christ follower is the posture. And then you can still speak the truth in love. And sometimes when we're thinking about communication techniques, we are thinking about active listening and mirroring, and those things are crucial. But let's not forget that speaking truth in love is still foundational to communicating well.
Yeah, and, you know, Rob, you bring up a good point. You know, you're a parent and you're a Christian. Balancing that in the conversation sounds like, that's what you're saying. Correct me if I'm wrong, but, can you speak also to, often parents will bring in, you know, especially as kids get older, maybe in their teens and twenties. And as I said earlier in our conversation, you never stop parenting.
Yeah.
The distinction between being a parent, a friend, and a Christian, is there a third, or does the friend part find itself somewhere else, or should it be there?
Well, that's a great set of questions. And I might say, sometimes, not trying to shock, but to clarify, sometimes I will say, you know, parenting actually does change around 18 years of age. And then I'll even back up and say, you know, actually parenting needs to be changing all across age and stage cycles, meaning, you know, we want the child to begin to individuate or become an individual in all the right ways. And so they're increasing and we're going to be decreasing. And sometimes I'll remind a parent, whether you like it or not, 18 is considered an adult. And so a 9-year-old child is basically 50% of the way there in terms of their personality and moral responsibility. We're not asking them to pay 50% of the mortgage, you know, in the light bill and so on, but we're trying to raise adults, not children. So when we have adult children, 18 and older, who may be living in our house, it's another time to renegotiate what that relationship is going to look like. That's a part of intentional parenting. And so now you're 18, you know, we're not looking for you to be home at a, you know, an early curfew. But if you're coming in all hours of the night, that's disruptive to our sleep. And so we're going to have to negotiate what this looks like with you now as an adult.
Yeah. And I love something you said in there that got my attention was they are increasing and we are decreasing. And as you could probably already tell, I love illustrations. What came to mind for me was holding on to the back seat of the bicycle as we're teaching them to ride a bike and helping them to balance and guiding them and our influence with our hand on the bike is great. And as they grow and learn and are ready to, for a lack of a better fly or ride, the place where they are increasingly the balance, they are increasingly the power that, you know, in riding the bike, until eventually they're doing it and we're there when they fall, and they want to, and they, you know, reach out for help. We're close enough, that we can respond. Do you want to speak to that?
Well, and to take the word picture even further, as they get better at riding the bike, they're going to be able to ride faster than we're going to be able to run alongside and keep up with them.
Yeah.
And so by the time they're 18, when they fall, we may not be there at the crash scene. We may be able to come to them and serve and assist, and we would certainly want to do so. But it's trying to help the child see that, you know, as you're growing up, I'm kind of growing up alongside you. Yes, you're increasing, I'm decreasing, but I am growing up in my understanding of what it is to be a parent of an adult. And maybe I've never been that parent before. And so we both have something to learn. And if we can do this with mutual respect as human beings, and even more, hopefully as Christians, then we're going to have a better outcome.
Yeah. And one more on this illustration, Rob, you know, as the kids grow and really into adulthood is where we're currently at, in the relationship with the parents, in intentional parenting continuing, is there sometimes a point where, the child can actually, you know, be such a great bicycle rider that they have something to teach the parent?
Definitely. They really can. And then on the counter side to that, they can be so good that you can't keep up with them. And even as a teenager, they may run past your values. They may run or ride somewhere else. And so that's what we're talking about, even at the beginning, where Adam and Eve, if you will, rode their bikes past God's direction. So did the prodigal son. And we have that happen. What we want to make sure of is that we are taking our personalities out of this. And if they're going to be offended by anything, it's only by our, you know, love for the Lord and our attempt to be a type of Christ to them. We're not going to be able to forever control how and where they ride the bike.
Well, Rob, and for those just joining us, we're visiting with Rob Jackson, a licensed counselor with Focus on the Family's Counseling Services Department, as well as his own private practice, counseling and coaching practice. Rob, the topic of discipline in the midst of intentional parenting, can you talk to us about really some of the best ways to, there's discipline, but then there's empathy. Yeah. And that balance, that we can work on to really encourage growth in our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, as children are getting older, becoming more independent, taking on more responsibility, we may also begin to say to them, you know, in light of what's just happened between us, you know, you broke my trust. Can you talk to me about the kind of self-discipline you plan to use in the future. Now, that's not saying I'm going to excuse myself and not be a part of the process. But rather than trying to be there to exact, you know, a certain weight of discipline in the life of the child's experience, you're asking, what do you think you need to do to discipline yourself in the future? And how can I help? How can I help in the process? So we're trying to turn over increasing agency, you know, moral responsibility, moral culpability. We're trying to turn that over to the child. So when they're 18 and leave home, they're already making good decisions rather than going off to a university or somewhere, still being dependent on mom and dad emotionally, spiritually, psychologically.
All right. Well, Rob, I want to throw it back to you as we put a bow on our conversation here today on intentional parenting. Before I throw that back to you, I do want to draw the listener to a couple of resources that are available. We already mentioned Focus on the Family's toll-free number, 1-800-FAMILY. And if you go to focusonthefamily.com, I just did a search for intentional parenting. And Rob, as I'm sure you know, a plethora of hosts has showed up. And it's easily accessible content that you'll find on the website at Focus on the Family. But any closing thoughts or other resources you might aim our audience at?
Well, I would want to encourage parents today, because I think on the one hand, it's a difficult day to raise kids. And I could say it's always been difficult, but there hasn't always been the internet. And that's just naming one thing. And so I'm very sympathetic to what is going on in the life of today's family. And I want to encourage you to move out in a spirit of hope to the comforter. Allow God to parent you, and your parenting of your child most likely will reflect that.
All right. Well, we appreciate, as always, Rob, your time and open invite. We'd love to have you back to talk about a myriad of topics. You know, as we mentioned earlier in our conversation, 40 years of experience in the field. There's a well source of information to tap into, and I hope you don't mind us reaching out another time.
I would love that, Steve. Thanks so much.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.